This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio here this Tuesday afternoon. Tiki Barber here. Sitting in solo today as BT is off. He's traveling. We're coming to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Get in touch with us in many ways because there's a lot to talk about today. 855-212-4227 or hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney or on Facebook or any other way that you get people, people in the social media world. You can find us at Tiki and Tierney. So the story of the day is Mike Trout's extension. And it's interesting when you think about it. We're going to get into a lot of it. We're going to talk to Seth Davis in our 4 p.m., 1 p.m. Pacific hour, who's a CBS Sports College basketball reporter, obviously, to talk about the NCAA tournament, which is starting tonight, 6:40 FDU at Prairie View. That's on True TV. Both the games are on True TV tonight. And at 9:10 p.m., Temple will take on Belmont. But to be honest with you, I don't know much about FDU or Prairie View, but hopefully one of them gets through comfortably and plays in the first round. Obviously, Temple and Belmont's a different story. Both of those programs have some more history to them. We'll dig into that a little bit later in the show. And then coming up in our 5 o'clock Eastern hour, our 2 p.m. Pacific hour, Mike, you got to help me, Samter. Di Giovanna. Exactly what I said. Di Giovanna, who is a writer for the Los Angeles Times. We have not talked to him on the show, so it'll be our first time chatting with him, but obviously he can give us some insight into what the Angels, in particular what Artie Moreno, is thinking, giving out a ridiculously enormous deal to Mike Trout, a 10-year, $360-plus million extension on top of the 2 years, $68 million that he had remaining, makes him the highest-played athlete in the history of American sports at 12 years, $430 million. I got to tell you, there's a couple things that popped to mind here. The first thing I said is, as I was sitting at home and I saw this news come down, is, God, I wish I would have played baseball. Baseball was such a beautiful sport. You go out and you stand on the green grass, and it's usually warm, especially, well, if you're in Los Angeles, it's mostly always warm. It's gorgeous outside. The fans are just chilling. They're not screaming at you and yelling at you like they used to get when I was in Philadelphia. Man, I wish I would have played baseball, especially as I see the salaries exploding and the league revenues growing from $3 million to $10 million over the last 20 years or so, which is a relevant stat. So keep that in mind as we start to dig into why I believe this deal is fantastic. Obviously, it's fantastic for Mike Trout, but also for the Los Angeles Angels. Now, the second thing I say is, God, there's just too much money in sports. How can you get this? CEOs don't make this much money. Fortune 500 companies that are pumping out products after products after products and lining shelves and making food or clothing or whatever it may be. The people who run these companies and in providing millions of dollars in revenue to the bottom line and increasing shareholder value and making millionaires out of other people don't make $36 million a year or have 12-year contracts for $430 million. It just doesn't make sense when I think about it. And then you start digging into the reasons why this happened. So there's an emotional reason, and then there's a financial reason. Which one should I start with? I think I'll start with the financial reason, because the financial reason is what people can dig into. When you look at how much money Mike Trout is making and why this makes sense for the Angels, all you have to do is look at the money. In 2019, league revenues will be about $10.5 billion. $10.5 billion. It's short of what the NFL is doing, but it's catching up really quickly to the money of the NFL. Maybe not the popularity of the NFL, but the money of the NFL, Major League Baseball, is catching up to. And when you look at the percentage of Mike Trout's contract relative to the overall pie in Major League Baseball, it's about 0.35%, which is small, but it is what it is. We're looking relative to the whole pie. So 0.35% of Major League Baseball total revenue goes to Mike Trout. Let's back up to when A-Rod signed that ridiculous deal back in 2000 with the Texas Rangers. 10 years, $252 million. His percentage of the whole pie at the time, which was about $3 billion, was 0.7% of the whole pie. So 0.7% to 0.35%. In a sense, the Angels got a steal with Bryce Harper relative to the total pie, the growing pie of Major League Baseball's revenue. But then let's dig in to the Los Angeles Angels themselves. The Los Angeles Angels have an enormous TV package out in L.A. Why? Because it's the second biggest media market in the country. It's a sports-loving area. You go to a baseball game because it's beautiful all the time in Los Angeles. And so they have a $3 billion TV package out in L.A. And of that $3 billion, about $150 million of it comes to them every single year, which is almost on par with what the Los Angeles Angels have for their entire payroll, including this new deal with Mike Trout. So in layman's term, before they opened day one, opening day of 2019, they're almost at break-even, or basically at break-even. Before they sell a ticket, before they sell a hat, before they sell more Mike Trout jerseys, before they sell beer and sodas and popcorn and pretzels and whatever else you get at a stadium, the Angels are basically break-even. And Mike Trout is sustaining them through some of their lean years because he's so amazing of a baseball player. You'll show up to a ballpark kind of just to see Mike Trout. Now, he hasn't had the postseason success. I know that's what a lot of people point to. You've heard this repetitively all day. The best player in baseball has got to play in the postseason. It's a crime to Major League Baseball if the best player. No, it's not, right? At the end of the day, baseball is a business. I believe in time, the Los Angeles Angels are working to get Mike Trout into the postseason. I think the winning of Shohei Ohtani last season was a big step in that direction. Their farm system, which has been historically horrendous, is slowly starting to get better. Their staff, which they haven't spent a lot of money on, but they could, because Artie Moreno, as we all know, as we've just been explaining, has money to do so. But they've also been unlucky. A lot of the arms that they've had have gotten hurt. So in time, Mike Trout is going to be that postseason hero that we all want our superstars to be. It just hasn't happened yet. Let's not forget, he's only 26 years old or 27 years old. He's got the world in front of him. He's not going to slow down anytime soon. So to me, this deal makes all the sense in the world. More importantly to me, the emotional side of this is why it makes so much sense. Look, we've seen athletes over the last decade and a half rise to stardom. It starts when they're 15 years old. They get a local newspaper, writes an article about them. Man, it's the best kid that I've ever seen dunk or throw a fastball or score a touchdown, whatever it may be. And then it slowly builds through his sophomore, his junior, senior season, and then he gets into college or goes straight to the major leagues or to the NBA through one and done in college basketball. And their egos are so inflated, partly because they have to be. In order to be great at anything, you got to be supremely and sublimely confident in yourself, almost to the point where it's annoying to others that you're so confident in your skills. But it works, right? And they find success in high school, then they find success in college, and they get to the professional level, and they find success. Unfortunately, this has coincided with a social media explosion where we crave and we thrive as consumers on the drama. Like, we need to know every little detail. Oh, who's he dating? Who's he going out with? What did he eat dinner last night? Is he true to his girl? Is he not? Where's he spending his money on? What kind of car does he drive? Like, we're obsessed with what athletes' lives are like. And some of these athletes, they're buying into the fans' obsession. They post everything. Man, I'm eating my Wheaties for breakfast today. You know, I'm going to switch it up tomorrow. I'm going to have Captain Crunch because I go back to my childhood. Captain Crunch was the you-know-what back in the day. So I'm getting back on my Captain Crunch. And fans get 150,000 likes on these things. You know who doesn't do this? Mike Trout. Mike Trout doesn't show us anything about him. In fact, Rob Manfred, when talking about Mike Trout and how amazing of a star he said, kind of took a shot at him.
I keep telling you guys, I do as much as I can, but you know, it's a long baseball season. So, you know, I got to pick and choose when I want to, you know, do things and, you know, go from there.
You and Aaron hitting home runs. I mean, do you think this was a sort of a nice promotional vehicle for baseball?
I think it is. You know, I think that, like I said before, when we can express ourselves, you know, obviously not just playing baseball during a game, you know, the dugout and just anywhere. You know, I think it's pretty good. It's good for baseball.
It is good for baseball to promote yourself, but you know who doesn't do it? Mike Trout. You know why? Because he doesn't need to. He's a lunch pail kid. He grabs his lunch pail, he goes, works his ass off, and goes and does his job. He doesn't complain. He doesn't try to be a diva. Even though the team around him, they haven't built the right kind of team around him for the majority of his 8 years there. Again, one postseason berth, they got swept through by the Royals. He was 1-for-12 in that series. But you don't see him complaining. You know what he does? He gets back to work and finishes top one or two in the MVP every single year, every single game. You know why it's worth it to me emotionally to pay Mike Trout $363 million in an extension and $430 million over 12 years? Because he wows you every single time he comes to the ballpark. Every single time you go to the ballpark, he wows you. There's one thing that I've always thought about athletes, and this comes from playing, it comes from watching athletics and athletes all over the course of my life and career, is that guys that you can count on are the guys you want on your team. The guy who doesn't shut it down simply because he feels sick, or the guy who doesn't get emotionally mad at himself because he messed up in the field, but the guy who picks himself up, who comes to the show every day and does his job. You know who else does that, interestingly? The New England Patriots. It's actually their motto. Do your job. Mike Trout does his job for a business in MLB that is increasingly growing in revenues, even though some of the attendance and some of the smaller non-competitive parks are declining, in a huge media market for an owner who embraced him, who's keeping him as an angel for the rest of his career, and that feels good in and of itself. The money says one thing, and the money says he actually might be underpaid making $430 million. But it's the emotional side of it that makes me love this deal even more. 855-212-4227. What do you think about the Mike Trout deal out in Los Angeles? He'll be an angel forever. And also, we'll explore this a little bit next. Do you think that the new Philadelphia Phillies outfielder kind of, I don't know, tampering had anything to do with the Angels' timing of this deal? Because they didn't have to do it right now. But they did. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We'll be right back after this break. Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tina here on CBS Sports Radio. BT is out preparing to do the St. John's Arizona State game, which is a first four game tomorrow afternoon. Samter and BT probably have a little bit of wager on that one, but we'll deal with that when we start talking about the NCAA field and in our next hour with Seth Davis, as I mentioned before. Now, we know that Bryce Harper just signed his big deal as well to go to the Philadelphia Phillies And right after that, there was speculation about really what he what they were going to build, how they were going to build around him. Now, the Phillies, I think, are ready to win, but Bryce had some interesting comments regarding the now signed Mike Trout, even though he didn't mention Mike Trout by name.
You know, I'm making 26 a year or something like that. So I think that's going to be able to bring some other guys in as well to be able to help this organization win. I know there's another guy in about 2 years that comes up off the books, you know, that we'll see what happens with
that. Yeah, not anymore. He's not coming off the books. But it makes me ask the question and wonder if the Los Angeles Angels heard that. And I know they raised a little bit of a stink about being tampered with. Not too much of one, but they raised a little bit of a stink about it. I wonder if that precipitated them to do this Mike Trout deal now, because they didn't have to do it right now. There was 2 years remaining, as Bryce alluded to, 2 years remaining on Mike Trout's previous deal, which was $144 million. It was a pre-arbitration deal. They gave him a ton of money. I think it was about $24 million a year before they had to. So they keep signing him before they have to. And I think that's in part just the business that Artie Moreno believes in. If you have a guy, you love him. He fits your family culture, family meaning the baseball culture there. Everybody feels like they're on the same page. Why wait? Do the deal. And sometimes that's gotten people in trouble. But it also makes me ask the question, if the Phillies sold Bryce Harper on the fact that they were going to go get another superstar. And the reason that your deal is sub $30 million a year is because we need to save space to go get the next stud or another stud to sit alongside of you. And so as I sit and we marvel at this $430 million that Mike Trout is going to get over the next 12 years, I wonder if Bryce Harper is having signer's regret right now. Probably not, because the Phillies have enough of a team built around him to be viable, and they feel exciting and they're on the come and things of that nature. But I think Bryce got into the mindset that we started to see in the basketball world, where you sign a big deal, you commit yourself to one team, and Bryce Harper is committed to the Philadelphia Phillies for the rest of his career. That's one of the reasons he said it took so long. And once you do that, you start saying, okay, how can we, or I, win a championship? How can I get to the postseason and be spectacular and drive up my brand and drive up the popularity of the team that I'm with, and by extension me, and we're going to be living the high life? Do it like the NBA does it. NBA has guys that hang out in the offseason on banana boats, and they craft ideas on what team they're going to play for. I think Bryce Harper might have been trying to do that. Obviously, he was trying to do that. Why so blatantly? That was his introductory press conference. That wasn't like a week and a half later. That was when he first got introduced to as a Philadelphia Philly, a new Philadelphia Philly. The one thing that he's thinking about is who else he's going to bring to join him. So I think Bryce Harper is probably the most disappointed man in baseball right now. Obviously, there's other guys out there. Aaron Judge will come up at some point, and some others. But there's not a ton of them that are going to be free. Manny Machado is in San Diego for probably the rest of his career. Nelson Arenado, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Nolan Arenado is not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, who's he going to pair himself with right now? It's interesting when you think about this. The backstories of the stories that are not being told, behind the scenes with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Angels. But again, at the end of the day, I think this is a great deal for Mike Trout. I think it's a great deal for the Angels. And I'm wondering if Bryce Harper's quasi-tampering with Mike Trout is what ultimately got this thing done sooner rather than later. I think the answer would be yes. Now, I dug into some of the attendance out at Angel Stadium, and I expected, because they've been sub 500 the last couple of years, 80 and 82 over the last two seasons, which is not, it's not great. It's not horrible. It's not like they're sitting at the bottom and they're not worth going to see, but I just remember seeing a lot of the highlights from Mike Trout's year last year. And the stands don't look full. Doesn't look like there's a ton of interest because the team's not building towards anything. Every year we talk about, you know, God, they got to get some pitching out there. And when Socha was the skip, it was like we talked to him every single year. Skip, when are you going to get some arms? And they just kept running up against bad luck. But despite the perception that the Angels are you know, an underachieving team, people go to these games. They're sixth in Major League Baseball in average attendance. You get over 3 million attendees at the ballpark every single year, 37,000 a game. It's top five or top six in Major League Baseball. And I feel like one of the reasons that Mike Trout is so valuable to this organization is because through these lean times, he's the guy that keeps you going. And so Samter and I were having this conversation. Is it worth it? Right? I understand that you can understand that, yes, the Angels make a ton of money, and the team's value has risen almost tenfold and since Artie Moreno bought the team. But is it really worth it, you know, to pay a guy like Mike Trout $36 or so million a year? To me, it is, because what makes it interesting for fans on losing teams is if there's one or two, and I think there's more than a couple for the Los Angeles Angels right now. It doesn't feel like it, but there are. Calhoun's a pretty good player. Right, Shohei Ohtani, who did something that no player has done in decades, as being a two-way guy, as a pitcher, starting pitcher, and a big bat. There's interest for this Angels team, and by committing yourself to Mike Trout for as long as they've committed themselves to Mike Trout, you know that you're going to have the best player in the game on your team. Now, you might lose some of these games. You may go to the ballpark and it's, you know, 4-3 and you lose, but you know Mike Trout's going to be entertaining to you. And there's something to that, right? Baseball, really all sport, is about winning, but it's also about being entertained. And I think having a guy like Mike Trout, who's as humble and as straightforward and as hardworking and non-issue related as any player in all of sport, is something that fans can embrace. And so, yeah, it might take some time. It might take a couple of years, maybe even more, before the Los Angeles Angels are relevant in the postseason discussion. But to me, that doesn't matter. I think when you know you're going to have lean times and you're building, you're trying to build around a guy, Mike Trout is the perfect guy to do that around. And the Angels found their guy. And be honest with you, with league revenues continuing to grow up, getting the early discount, so to speak, might have been the best thing that they could have done. And honestly, I believe that. Some people will knock this because long-term deals to sluggers don't always work. I mean, the history is long. And hell, the Angels don't have to look too far in their recent past to find them. Josh Hamilton, remember that debacle that happened with him? Now, obviously, that was because Josh Hamilton had a disease, a substance abuse issue that he couldn't ever shake, and it derailed his career. But Alex Rodriguez, that deal didn't work out. That's great for the Rangers. Robinson Cano, we know what that did for the Seattle Mariners. They actually played better when he got hurt last year. Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, the Marlins basically gave him the half the value of the franchise before they shipped him off to the New York Yankees. Well, he was good for the Yankees. He wasn't a world beater. Albert Pujols also with the Angels. He's being paid, you know, for the next 5 years, just 4 years or so before he falls off, maybe 3 years before he falls off the Angels' books. Miggy Cabrera, I mean, he's been paid until he's 41. He signed two deals, basically 16 years and $400 million he signed with the Detroit Tigers. These things don't always work out for winning. But I think in this case, maybe this one case, Mike Trout might prove to be the exception to the rule when it comes to these enormous contracts that are certainly outliers relative to the other contracts in Major League Baseball. Mike Trout gives me hope that this one, this time, might work. Not might be false hope. But I am holding out hope that this works out for the Los Angeles Angels. Inbounds and Out of Bounds coming up next. But before that, Rich Ackerman, can you please Give us an update.
The tournament has officially tipped off, and CBS Sports Network is ready to bring you in-depth analysis of the field of 68 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Samter and D-Cell and I were having a little bit, not really a debate, but a discussion, talking about how Mike Trout is making all this money and how the Los Angeles Angels, because they own the rights to do their own TV deal, which is about $3 billion over 20 years, roughly $150 million a year. What if NFL teams could do their own TV deals, and would that solve the question on paying football players guaranteed contracts? It's probably half the roster in Major League Baseball, say 25 to 53 in the NFL. The league revenues in the NFL are a little bit higher, even though Major League Baseball is catching up from 14 million in the NFL to 14 billion, I should say, in the NFL to 10 billion in Major League Baseball. But what if you made it imperative for NFL teams to sell their own? I wonder how much money. Maybe in some markets it wouldn't be great, but if the Giants had the right to sell their own or make their own TV deal. Now, I know they get a ton from the league's TV deal, $250 million per team. Some of those smaller market teams probably couldn't pull a $250 million deal. But a team like the New York Giants or the Dallas Cowboys, imagine them. The Dallas Cowboys, I bet, could do a $500 million deal every year for TV rights of the Dallas Cowboys. Especially if you let them do it in multiple markets, the Giants, because it's the number one media market. It's just interesting to think about how the economics of baseball allow for these type of huge mega deals, huge deals where you're paying one guy $36 million a year, or if you're out in Colorado, $32 million, or San Diego, $30 million, or in Philadelphia, $26 million. And in majorly in the NFL, it's usually only one player. It's not always one player. There's only, six or seven of those guys that are making upwards of $25 million, those quarterbacks. But it'd be interesting to see if the NFL, I don't think they ever would do it because they don't want to risk the smaller markets not being able to generate enough revenue to cover their salary cap. They'd be better off opting into the NFL's TV package as opposed to trying to negotiate their own. But the business of these two different sports, both which are, growing financially. One is obviously the most popular sport in the country. The other one is gaining a little bit, at least in some markets. Samter, are you ready to do some inbounds and out of bounds with me? Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, hopefully you're ready. These are very difficult questions. I thought long and hard. Me and D-Cell stormed our brains for hours.
You mean for like 10 minutes?
Actually, no. Today was a little bit harder than usual. We had to kind of really dig deep. So here we go. Number one, after being drafted number 3 overall in 2014, Blake Bortles mostly disappointed in Jacksonville, averaging 15 interceptions a year in his 5 seasons for the Jags.
Yeah, not throwing many touchdowns either.
Only
one year he did.
Yes, one year he had over 23 touchdowns. Only one year. He had 35 that year. Every other year, 23, 21, 18, 17. Yeah. Now, Bortles is heading out west, joining the 2-time defending NFC West champion Rams to back up Jared Goff. So inbounds, out of bounds, Blake Bortles should get an opportunity to once again be an NFL starting quarterback at some point.
This is a good one, Samter. Blake Bortles was a half a quarter away from representing the AFC 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. His offensive coordinator didn't trust him to throw the ball down the field, so they dinked and dunked and gave it away to the New England Patriots, who, if you let them hang around, they will get back at you. This season, it was ugly, really, the entire time. Without their run game, he really showed his weaknesses and his inability to throw the ball with consistency. Blake Bortles should get an opportunity to be an NFL starting quarterback again, I'm going to say is out of bounds, Samter. I think the book, even though he's still relatively young, is mostly written on Blake Bortles. I like the guy. When we did the game, me and my brother, when he for Fox did the game to start this past season, we got a chance to chat with him. And he's got that, I don't care, I'm just going to go play my game mentality. But there's seemingly a ceiling with Blake Bortles. I think he can be a really good backup in the National Football League because he's got a grit about him. I think that can rub off on young quarterbacks in the NFL. And if he should have to play, obviously he's got a lot of experience. But to be someone's starting quarterback again in the NFL, I'm going to say that's not going to happen. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Last night, the San Antonio Spurs won their 42nd game of the season, ensuring their 22nd consecutive winning season.
Wow.
More impressively, the Spurs have spent, listen to this, just 65 total days under 500 during that span dating back to 1997. To put that into perspective, the number two team on the list for the fewest amount of games under 500 were the Houston Rockets at 1,007. 1,007 for second place, 65 for the Spurs. And most of that coming this year, early in the season, and now they're up to the number five seed in the West. They have five NBA titles, 13 division titles, and Greg Popovich has won Coach of the Year three different times. Now we think about the NFL, Bill Belichick has six Super Bowl rings. He's won 15 of the last 16 AFC East championships. So the question is, what Popovich has done with the Spurs is more impressive than what Belichick has done with the Patriots.
I'm going to say this is an easy one for me, Samter. Out of bounds. Because what Bill Belichick has to deal with, a constantly turning over of his roster. Because, look, it's their business philosophy. Once you start to make it, they're not paying you. See ya. I know you were a hero, maybe even won a couple of Super Bowls. Maybe specifically because of your contributions. But we're not going to pay you. So we're going to go get other guys. And yet, those other guys step right in and fill the void. So I think what Belichick has done, given the business dynamics of that salary cap management and team management, is particularly impressive. I love Coach Popovich. So I'm going to say out of bounds of this. I love Coach Popovich. I think he is one of the greatest coaches on the planet, regardless of sport. But as we all know, in basketball, all it takes is one, and especially if you have two superstars, like he has consistently had, going back to the Admiral days and Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. There's always been guys who he could count on and guys that he was familiar with, guys who his quirky, abrasive, grinded-out style, they bought into. He didn't really have to amend that. This year, he's probably doing one of his best jobs, but that still doesn't make me think that he's doing a better job than the Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. It's hard to be as good as the Pats have been in an atrocious league like the NFL. So I'm going to say out of bounds, with all due respect to Greg Popovich.
Are you in or are you out?
I'm going to call Pop. He's not going to be happy about this.
Yeah, no, right?
Number three, during yesterday's game, Knicks rookie center Mitchell Robinson rolled up on the back of Kyle Lowry's legs while the two were fighting for a rebound. Lowry remained on the floor, grasping at his ankles, clearly in pain. After the game, Lowry admitted he wasn't a fan of Robinson's actions.
I watched the clip. I think it was a little bit dirty. He grabbed me, pulled me down, but he's a young kid, so I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but I think he'll learn his lesson next time and, be a little bit more careful.
So inbounds, out of bounds. Robinson's move of dragging down Lowry from behind was dirty.
Yeah, it was dirty, but I don't think it was intentionally dirty, just like Kyle Lowry said. This is inbounds to me. Like, you never want to hurt another player. Mitchell Robinson is one of the bright future stars. Maybe not a star, but one of the bright future players for the New York Knicks, mainly because of his effort. This dude gives it all. I mean, he's like, he's doing things that you see Zion do in college basketball, blocking three-pointers on his runouts because he's so aggressively trying to defend whoever he's guarding, whether it's at the rim or out around the three-point line. He is a hustle player. And sometimes hustle players, when they're learning the game as he is, tend to get a little over-aggressive and out of control. But this was dirty only because he tried to pull him down. And in the action of pulling him down, that's when he hurt Kyle Lowry's ankle, which was already banged up. I mean, if Kyle Lowry hadn't been hurt going into this, it probably wouldn't be as big of an issue. Not that Mitchell Robinson knew. Maybe he did know. But I'm gonna say this was a little bit dirty, but just a little bit.
Are you in or are you out?
Hedging your bet there, a little bit dirty. Speaking of potentially dirty, the UFC enjoyed immense national success for nearly a decade, leading to a massive $4 billion sale in 2017. However, since Conor McGregor took time off in boxing in 2016 and Ronda Rousey left the sport altogether for the WWE that same year, the UFC has struggled to find a headliner that fans can truly embrace. John Jones, one of those names, constantly pinched for PEDs or other different octagon issues. Yesterday, despite their recent struggles, the UFC gave President Dana White a new 7-year extension, though many question if his voice and antics have gotten stale for a sport that has lost some luster of late. Inbounds, out of bounds, Dana White does deserve a new long-term deal with the UFC.
This was a hard one. Your first one and your last ones were hard, Samter / D-Cell. We used to love the UFC. We had those guys in here. I mean, it felt like once a week, or at least once or twice a month, just talking about their journeys and, you know, their upcoming fights. And they all had personalities, and they had, I don't know, this thirst to push this thing to the ceiling. And it started to overtake boxing. Remember, it became one of the more talked about sports in the nation. I'm going to say inbounds, Samter. Dana White does deserve a new long-term deal, because I honestly can't think of who else could do that job better. He has an intimate knowledge going back to the UFC championship, or the Ultimate Fighting Championship TV show, where they were trying to groom stars and make stars out of them by making it somewhat of a television show. And his presentation and his persona were infectious. You were just gravitated towards it. So I think he's the only guy that could do it like that. So I'm going to say inbounds. And the interesting thing is that when you look at the other fight leagues, particularly Bellator, which I think promotionally shares an office here with us, they're in 345 Hudson as well, they really don't do, or there's really no promoter. I mean, I'm sure there are, but we don't know their names. We know the fight games in Bellator because of the fighters themselves, whether it's Matt Mitrione, who's always been at the Super Bowl, and interestingly, a former Giant teammate of mine, or Chael Sonnen, who does a lot with Rome during his smack off and has his own personality and media presence. It's really the athletes in some of these other fight leagues that do the promoting, right? The Don Kings of the world aren't around anymore. Even looking at boxing, Deontay Wilder, he does a lot of the promotion himself. He's out there on social media, and he gets out in the public and does some things. I heard he's fighting again, too, by the way, to defend his championship. Got to figure out who it is. Maybe get Deontay Wilder, the heavyweight champion of the world, back on at some point. But I'm going to say inbounds, because I think the UFC needs Dana White. Otherwise, the lack of the personalities are going to fade just a little bit.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
We're about 7 minutes from the top of the hour. Those who are watching us on CBS Sports Network, we just lost our feed there because you're going to be watching NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown. It's on TV, obviously, from 4 to 5. So stick around on CBS Sports Network if you want to see the bracket breakdown. We're going to get into a little bit of college basketball breakdown on the radio side, CBS Sports Radio and Sirius XM 206, Channel 206, and obviously any streaming devices, radio.com. The best way that I find to listen to our shows, Samter, D-Cell, when I'm not here, is on the app. Our CBS app is easy. You get all the scores, all the updates, and down at the bottom, if you scroll from the home screen, there's a little radio icon that has whoever's show is on, whether it's Rome or DA or even Amy Lawrence overnight. And currently, Tiki and Tierney. You can find it on the CBS Sports app, which is obviously in the Apple Store or any other stores you shop for applications. Coming up on the other side of this break, we're going to start digging into the NCAA March Madness ourselves. The ACC got three number one seeds, including my Virginia Cavaliers. And then we'll talk to Seth Davis, who's CBS's sports college basketball reporter. There's lots to break down. I know a lot of people are starting to figure out their brackets. We'll give you as much information as we can. I know you probably don't care about my picks, but eventually we'll do that because we have a Tiki and Tierney challenge. All that and more. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.